The following program is in no way representative of the high-quality programming usually heard on the Maverick Radio Network. The views expressed and fishing techniques demonstrated are not endorsed by this station. The following is not a news broadcast.
It's total crap.
Speaking of total crap, welcome to the five count.
Holy smokes, my headphones are ridiculous.
Yeah, well, your head's ridiculous. My ears out so here. It kind of
my head
balances
is ridiculously
out.
Huge. Let me just tell you.
Let him tell you all about it. All about Southern
it's
Minnesota.
Like how many inches around? 17 inches.
It's about a 32-pound head.
32 pounds of head.
I don't know. Anyways,
I'm just saying it's total crap, Dusty. I'm saying it outright right now. It's crap. I've dealt with it on more than one occasion, and it's total junk, dude. Seriously.
Yikes.
I'm telling you.
You're not talking about this great radio program,
no,
are you?
No, this particular radio program right here is the utmost opposite of crap.
We're the ginchiest.
We are the highest of the highbrow radio shows on this particular network.
Arbitron spike.
Spike in that business.
Man.
Let me just tell you that I've been doing some spiking lately, and it's something else.
What kind of hair spiking?
A little bit.
Railroad
maybe.
Spiking? Volleyball spiking? What are we talking here?
You know what I'm talking about, pal.
Teenage girl punch spiking? What do we got here?
Yeah, I do that sometimes.
All right. Well, you know, do what you gotta. Spike them if you got them. That's what I always say.
Spike them if you got them.
Hey, welcome to the Five Count.
Welcome to this show. It's a beautiful one.
It's a beautiful show. We almost didn't make it because Vikings training camp has taken over the
yes,
upper east side.
They did. Both of us fought the same crossing guard person, and then I fought and defeated my own separate crossing guard.
I just drove
around
like an
idiot. I ran over 15 cones and fought a guy.
I drove over 15 Vikings fans.
Did you?
Yeah.
I just fought a crossing guard. I was like, you know, it's not really the fans' fault.
I hit a little kid in a Favre jersey.
You know, did you?
What are you going to do?
God.
I know.
You shouldn't have done that.
Well, I had a show to do.
Well, I mean, so did I, but.
Just saying.
What are you going to do?
You can't stand in the way of great radio.
I know. That's what I told this guy. I had to get out of my truck, and I had to approach the guy face to face and be like, pal, see this cone right here? You better move it, or I'm going to move you.
And then he pointed to his pants.
Out of state. What?
Which I think is a bit.
Did not point to my pants. That guy, he tried to maybe point to his pants.
Anywho. Hey, guys. Special show tonight.
Special.
Celebrity-a-thon 2000 rolls on.
Celebrity-a-thon 2000.
Yeah.
We are ridiculous with these celebrity interviews. It just doesn't stop.
They're all over the place. Here, all we got over. Another one. It's a guy who is a staple of the professional wrestling scene for the last 30-some years.
Yep.
And a ton, kind of, I think, formed a special bond.
Oh, yeah.
I might say, with this guy.
Yep.
We haven't talked to him yet. We're going to be interviewing him
well,
momentarily.
When we were setting it all up, we're tight.
His name is Paul Bearer.
Paul Bearer.
Hung out with The Undertaker.
The Undertaker. Everybody knows The Undertaker. He's like household name.
I think so.
He is. You know
He's the Undertaker. He's like the gravedigger of wrestlers.
Yeah.
Get it?
I got you.
That was a monster truck.
Nobody knows monster trucks.
But also,
anymore.
Like, he actually does dig graves because he's the Undertaker.
And puts people in them. Yeah.
That's funny, damn it.
Woo! You're hilarious.
Hey, seriously, folks. Nice Paul
shirt.
Bearer.
Nice shirt.
It gives us an excuse to play wrestling themes it's on the beautiful. Radio, is what it does. It's beautiful. We're into that.
You're a beautiful man.
We've done it before. In fact, if you go to thefivecount.com, we have an old show up that we just played a bunch of wrestling tunes.
Yep.
Because we're dorks.
Yep.
Ton used to be a professional wrestler.
I was for a couple years.
He was the human headlock machine.
That's right.
But he killed too many men in the ring.
Too many guys.
All the arenas that he wrestled in eventually had to forfeit their athletic license because of too many deaths, too much bloodshed.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate.
It was a tough deal.
What do you say? Should we play some wrestling-related music, and then we'll talk to Paul Bearer?
Play something so we can set it up, and we'll talk to him.
Okay, are you ready for this?
Everybody, you guys can tune in and
wait,
listen.
Do your Paul Bearer impression.
Oh, yes! Ooh!
That was pretty good.
Yes!
Oh, okay, we're coming back with Paul Bearer.
Thank you. Thanksgiving Eve. My Undertaker will be enjoying an early Thanksgiving dinner, while you, Kamala, will be the offering to those who dwell down below. Oh, yeah!
Kamala, you will not survive Survivor Series. Kamala, rest in peace.
Sitting all alone in the darkness of my funeral parlor, thinking about mass burials, all the mass burials down through history. I wish I could have been there, but there's one ahead that I will attend. Oh, yes, 29 bodies, 29 souls, and you, Undertaker, can present them to me one by one. And with each one, you'll get closer and closer to your championship.
My sole purpose in this lifeless world is to collect the souls of the unfortunate people that cross me. Coming soon, there will be 29 bodies at my feet, and I'll stand alone at the top.
This is Thor, the Rock Warrior, and you're listening to The Five Count. See you again, old Scratch.
This is Paul Bearer, Percy Pringle.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man.
Hi.
We got all sorts of super fans here in the studio.
I got
okay,
a mad case of the giggles.
Well, good. I called the right time then, huh?
Yep, we're here. I'm here with Ashley and my co-host, Tun.
Hey, how you doing?
Tun?
Tun, yep, like 2,000 pounds.
Oh, you weigh 2,000 pounds?
Yep, I'm a big boy.
Well, I resemble that.
All right, we're going to get along then.
Do we call you Mr. Bearer or Mr. Pringle?
You can call me whatever you want.
Okay.
Mr. Bearer it is.
Mr. Bearer.
All right, I'll follow you. I've done one or two of these in my day, so
okay.
I don't want to have a problem. I can talk about anything you want to talk about, and I'll just follow your lead.
Okay, well, we'll start off and ask you how you got started in the wrestling business.
Oh, man.
That's a tough one.
That's an oldie but a goodie. one of my earliest memories that I have is wrestling. My parents took me to the studio wrestling hell when I was like 3 or 4 years old, and I can remember them taking me there. And once I got into high school and got my driver's license, I started going on my own, and I was just hooked. You guys know it's like a drug.
Yeah.
I was just hooked, and I've been around wrestling ever since I was a kid, and I always knew that's what I wanted to do. I always wanted to be in the wrestling business, and I wanted to be in the funeral business. Little did I know that I was going to be in both at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh, yes!
Well, how did you get started in the funeral business?
I found a dead body in my backyard.
I suppose that would do it, huh?
No, I started the funeral business. It's such a long story. I'm trying to give you the Reader's Digest version. When I was in high school, I worked for an ambulance service. And I kind of got into the funeral business through the ambulance service. Because most of the patients that I picked up, I usually end up killing. So that's how I ended up getting to the funeral service.
Oh. That's quite the racket.
So I have a degree in mortuary science. I'm a licensed funeral director and embalmer. I have been for many years.
And you still
do that? I started wrestling before I started in the funeral service.
Okay.
Then I realized that I needed something to fall back on. Thank God I did. I went to college and got my degree in mortuary science. So it's always been wrestling and funeral business for me. And Ms. McMahon was the one to take the two and put them together and created Paul Bearer. Oh, thank God.
So were you always a manager when you had first started out, or did you actually wrestle a bit too?
No. Believe it or not, I actually wrestled until I found out that managing was the place for me. It did take too long, a couple of years, and one of the old-timers. Where are y'all at? What part of the country y'all in?
Minnesota.
Oh, my God. Bless your heart. You're probably a lot cooler than we are today, though. Our heat index is 115 today.
Wow.
And plus, we're right here on the Gulf Coast, so we got all this beautiful oil that is just pouring all over our sugar-white beaches.
Wow.
Oh, it's horrible. It is. I'm sure y'all have seen it on television.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's 100 times worse than what you can see on TV. It is just horrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. But, yes, I started out as a wrestler for a couple of years, and then I discovered managing and found out that was where I should be, and the rest is history.
What parts of the territory were you in when you first started? Was it down south? Or?
Yeah, here in my home area along the Gulf Coast. It was called Gulf Coast Wrestling
okay.
back in those days. And, of course, y'all are very familiar with the history of the territory system, how that worked. And I'm sure most of the people listening are, too. But I started out with Gulf Coast Wrestling here in the Gulf of Mexico, in Alabama, Mississippi, Florida, in the panhandle here of Florida. We're kind of wedged in between New Orleans and Pensacola, Florida.
Okay.
A little bit part of Alabama that I live in. I live in Mobile, Alabama. And then the territory there, of course, Florida was a territory in itself back in the day. You know, Florida Championship Wrestling with Gordon Soley. I mean, everybody knows about Florida Championship Wrestling. And, of course, then you had your Georgia Championship Wrestling and then your Texas and your Louisiana, your Bill Watts and your Tennessee, which consisted, you know, of Lawler and Jarrett and Nick Gulas, if you go back that far.
Okay.
I'm definitely old school and was raised on the old school system, and thank God I treasure all those memories.
And you managed guys like Rick Rude and Steve Austin real early in their careers, right?
Yeah. Steve Austin, I was with the Von Erichs in World Class Championship Wrestling out in Dallas for 6 years. And the last couple of years, Chris Adams, ran a wrestling school. They're at the Sportatorium. And I had an office in the Sportatorium. I worked in the office there in Dallas when I wasn't on the road managing. And Steve Austin was in the first class that we had there. And we knew right away that he had it. And he went through the school and started, and I became his manager and was with him for a while. We'd done a few things with him before he moved on. He was a natural from day one. A lot of people don't know I was the Undertaker's first manager in his first match. Which also at the Sportatorium in Dallas for the Von Erichs.
Okay.
He started there, and we put a mask on him, called him Texas Red. And you can go on that match is on YouTube. If you're interested, you can go on there and look for Texas Red versus Bruiser Brody.
Wow.
And that's the Undertaker in his first match.
His first match with Bruiser Brody.
First match against Bruiser Brody, and I was his manager. And if you ask Undertaker today about that match, he'll tell you that the only reason they sent me to the ring with him was to show him the way back, because Brody beat the dogfish out of him all over the building.
Yeah,
but that's the way it was back in those days. But the rest is history there. So you know, I've managed a lot of guys early on in their career. The Ultimate Warrior, he was the Dingo Warrior back in those days. I managed him. I managed Lex Luger in his very first match down in Florida when I was in Florida. I've been around a long time. I think I counted one day, and we come up with almost 40 guys that I managed through the years since
wow.
I've been in the business.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And I was very, very blessed to be with a lot of really good guys that really went on and made big names for themselves. And thank God I was able to hang on their coattails, you know.
With all those guys, is there any that stick out for you as far as like being troublesome, or any that you really liked managing?
Matt Bourne and Buzz Sawyer, they were probably the best tag team I've ever managed, you know, next to Kane and Taker. But Matt Bourne and Buzz Sawyer, oh my God. If they just kept the wrestling in the ring instead of outside the ring, they fought constantly, you know, and for real, wow. Outside the ring. They'd pull over on the interstate and get into a fight on the side of the interstate. We'd be going to a show but they were always trouble. You know, that those names just automatically jump off the page, you know. And, of course, Matt eventually became Doink the Clown, the first Doink the Clown, you know. Now there's about 1,500 of them around
yeah.
the country.
What was the Warrior like back then? Was he...
He was fine. I get asked that a lot because I'm very aware of his reputation
yeah.
these days. But I never had a problem with him. I still don't have a problem with him. I don't know how to explain it. I just didn't. I guess because I knew him, you know, early on. I was smart to his gimmick from the get-go. And especially during the time that, you know, The Undertaker and myself had a run with him up there in WWF, when we, you know, done lock him in the casket on the funeral parlor, and we'd done casket matches and body bag matches all around the world.
Yeah.
And I never had a problem with him. Undertaker did, of course, but I didn't have to wrestle him. Thank God. But we always got along, and I miss that type of person. If I don't have a problem with you, I'm fine, you know. Thank God I'm easy to get along with.
Well, hopefully Undertaker and you got along.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't imagine that relationship even lasting 2 days if you didn't get along.
Yeah.
But that's so important, especially back in, I guess it still is now. There is no male managers anymore, first of all. On the big league scene. But back in those days, you know, we were together almost 14 years, and there were a lot of years that we were on the road, you know, 300-plus days a year, and we were together all the time. So there's no way in hell that would ever last if we didn't get along. No way.
Right.
And we're still good friends, and we still, you know, communicate quite often. In fact, I was just talking to him today. Most folks already know via the Internet that he got hurt again. Rey Mysterio broke Undertaker's orbital bone, you know, the bone around your eye.
Yeah.
And happened to be the same bone that he broke back in, I think it was 1995.
Yeah,
late
it didn't.
94, early 95.
Like Mabel sat on his face or something?
Yeah, no, he didn't know he hit him with one of them ham bones of his.
Oh, okay.
And it was the very same bone that he broke then, and he had surgery last week, and he's doing okay. He'll be fine. He's just going to be out for a while. He's in a vegetative state.
Okay.
I think that's what they said on the show last week, right? The Undertaker was in a vegetative state. Wow. I said, what state is that? Idaho? do y'all grow vegetables up there where y'all at?
Oh, yeah.
Too damn cold.
Mostly corn, yeah.
Oh, God.
Corn and beans.
Corn and beans. It sounds like my type of supper. Yeah. All right, folks, man, liven this up a little bit. I like having a good time. Y'all need to ask me some good questions. I like having really fun.
Where did the name Percy Pringle come from?
I was named Percy Pringle by a gentleman that wrestled back in the he's an old school wrestler. His name was the Great Mephisto. His real name's Frankie Kane, but he wrestled as the Great Mephisto. You folks probably never heard of him. But he was a big name back in the 60s and 70s, and especially in California, down south. For a long time, he wrestled under a mask as one of the Infernos, J.C. Dyke in the Infernos. Anyway, he was a legendary booker in our business. And when I first started, I was telling you, I started out wrestling and then became a manager. He gave me the name Percy Pringle. And that was 1977. You guys probably weren't even born in 77, huh?
Nope.
Nope.
Yeah, that makes me feel... I got underwear older than you guys.
I'm the closest, and I was born in 80, so...
Oh, bless your heart. Yeah. My God.
Yeah.
So how long were you Percy Pringle for?
I'm still Percy Pringle. I'm working right now on the independent scene and traveling around the country as Percy Pringle, Paul Bearer. I still use the name Percy Pringle. Okay. In fact, my website is percypringle.com. Dustin might have been to it. I don't know if y'all have been to my website or not. But if you get real bored, you need to go to percypringle.com, and you'll see a lot of old pictures, a lot of old stories, and a lot of the things that we've been talking about tonight.
When you first of all, how did you get involved with McMahon and the WWF? Did he just kind of send out talent scouts, or?
Well, no, the way it happened then, I'm sure y'all familiar with the story of World Class Wrestling, how, you know, the Von Erichs, most of them passed away at the time and ended up, you know, going out of business, and we were just closing up shop there, and I was going to pack up and move back to my hometown here in Mobile and go back in the funeral business. And I called Rick Rude. Rick Rude was up there with Vince at the time, and you had mentioned Rick earlier. He was one of the guys that I managed and had a lot of success with. I called Rick, or he called me. I can't remember which way it happened, but I told him that I was getting out of wrestling and I was going back in the funeral business back in Mobile. And he says, no, you don't want to do that. He says, hang on. And don't make any decisions until I call you back. About 2 or 3 hours later, he called me back. Says, you got a pencil? I said, yeah. He said, write this number down. I wrote a number down. He says, this is Vince's home phone number. Give him a call.
Wow.
I called Vince. Next thing I know, I was on an airplane for Stanford. And next thing I know, I was Paul Bearer. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that must have been wild, just have it all happen so fast.
It was just a dream come true. And that was... I never forget. It was on December 22nd, 1990. I'll never forget because that was me and my wife's wedding anniversary, December 22nd. So I remember the date clearly. It was December 22nd, 1990, and I went on the road with Undertaker in January of 91. The rest is history.
What were those first years like with the Undertaker and that whole kind of ride?
Oh, it was a ride, I'm telling you what. Ric Flair talks about riding Space Mountain. It certainly was a Space Mountain ride for me. Because, you know, Taker virtually went straight to the top, and I was just blessed to be there with him. And it was just it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize I was in the business in wrestling 15 years before that. So I had 15 years experience before I became Paul Bearer. So I certainly wasn't a newbie to the business or anything. It was just all good. It was all good, especially the paychecks. That was a change from the latter years in Dallas, for sure.
Yeah,
we didn't know where our next meal was coming from back in those days.
Were you surprised that that character took off so quickly?
Well, I was, and I thought you were going to ask. Usually, I get asked, did we have any idea what it was going to turn into? You know, did we have any idea that, you know, Undertaker was going to be around for 20 years and have a 17-year winning streak at WrestleMania? At our first WrestleMania, because me and Taker started at WrestleMania 7 in Los Angeles. His opponent was Jimmy Superfly Snuka, as a matter of fact. And that was WrestleMania 7. What WrestleMania are we fixing to have now, 27?
27, yeah.
That'd be 20 years. 20 WrestleManias. Man. No, we didn't have a clue. God. I'm glad we didn't know. What a ride.
Yeah, when you look at some of the other gimmicks, like you mentioned before, like Doink the Clown, and you had your barbers and your plumbers, and I would kind of liken it to sort of a weirder gimmick like that, but that was kind of the one that really stuck around.
Exactly, and without a doubt, the Undertaker gimmick is the, you know, there'll never be another. I just can't ever see another gimmick. You know, in my mind, he's the ultimate gimmick. There'll never be another gimmick that would last 20-plus years, because it's not over yet by far. Certainly right. Not over. So that's why I say 20-plus years.
Would you say
don't
that...
get quiet!
They're all in.
I ain't heard Two Tone say a word.
I asked you a few questions. What the hell?
Well, you better come over with another. I'm going to hang up.
Oh, man. Did you experience any kind of like jealousy or bad feelings from any of the other wrestlers when Undertaker was... I mean, it seems like he just kind of got pushed and he was just to the top right away. Was that...
I'm sure, not that I'm aware of, but knowing the business like I do, hell yeah, there was there. It was certainly there, but I didn't give a shit. I didn't have to give a shit. You know, I just done my thing. Like I said, I'd already been in the business 15 years, and in my mind, I had paid my dues, and I certainly had paid my dues. So I didn't care what anybody had to say, because my niche was sealed at that point. You know, my destiny was sealed. But I'm damn sure, like I said, I didn't see it. But knowing the business, there had to be.
Yeah.
There certainly had to be.
Mm-hmm.
What's that fat SOB doing getting a push like that, you know? Thank God for my ugly face and that squeaky voice, you know?
I disagree.
Oh.
Ashley's got a bit of a crush on you.
You don't even
know. Oh, my
know.
God.
Like, I tell people all the time, I'm going to marry Paul Bearer. Like, well, I'm going to be Mrs. No. I just told someone today at work, I will be Mrs. Bearer.
Well, you know, my wife passed away here 16 months ago. So I'm a single man. I'm a single man.
Woo!
You got a chance, girl. You're right time, right place.
I need to take it. Sorry, boys. I'm going with Paul Bearer.
You got my email address?
I'll get it.
Go to my website, and my email address is on there. Give me a holler.
Get to the airport.
It was actually
get to the airport.
It was actually really cute. Dustin and I, for our 1 year anniversary, he gave me the Paul Bearer action figure because I'm so in love with Paul Bearer.
Well, I appreciate that. That's a compliment. I thank you. Yeah, I lost my wife. We were married 30 years. She passed away to breast cancer on January 31st, 2009, just about 16 months ago. And she had been with me that whole ride from the very beginning, you know, when I first started in the business, you know, all the way through all the years. And we were blessed to have two wonderful sons, and they're now married, and I have two wonderful granddaughters. And I don't know what I'd do without my family here. It's been a rough road without my wife the last 16 months. Because she was always there for me, you know. Somebody like I always come home and bitch at. She always understood. Just let me bitch. Okay.
Yeah, we're sorry to hear that.
And then I'm sure she was happy when she took me to the airport and sent me off on the road again. He's gone. He's gone. Thank God he's gone.
You were there for quite a while up until even 2000, right? And then you were kind of written off TV for a while. What was the story behind that?
But even when I wasn't on TV, I'm still under a contract with Vince. I'm under a Legends contract now.
Okay.
I have been for 6 years. In fact, they just extended that here in the last few months. I've been doing some work on some new video games that are going to be released in the fall, and some other DVD stuff that I'm working on. So. When you've been associated with that gimmick, you know, The Undertaker, and been working for Vince as long as I have, you just don't turn your back and walk away.
Right.
So I've been, even when I haven't been on TV, for a year or so, I was working in developmental back in the day when Smoky Mountain Wrestling was going and Memphis Wrestling was going. We had like five farm clubs at that time, and I was traveling around when Taker was doing the American Badass gimmick. My fat ass wouldn't fit in the sidecar of that motorcycle. they had to put me on the road. I guess Two-Tone can understand that. That'd have been a hell of a picture, right? They had to butter me up to squeeze me in the sidecar. But I was on the road doing other things. I was working backstage as an agent, and I was on the road with developmental and stuff. And even when I wasn't on TV, I was still working for the company. I just wasn't on TV with Taker there for a while. Just back and forth. But you never know. Never say never.
Yeah, then they buried you in cement when they brought you back. What was?
Yeah, I'm still picking cement out of my ass. Out of my ears and out of my nose.
Do you think you'll ever be back on TV again with him before he ends up his career? I'm sure he's probably going to be retiring here in the next, I would say, 10 years at the very latest.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, you were very safe saying 10 years, wasn't you?
Yeah, well, I know you guys are close friends, so I don't want you.
Yeah, no. I would never say never. You just don't ever know. It's certainly, you know, you just don't know. You just don't know. It's certainly a possibility. I would never say no.
Well, hopefully you wind up back up there again. That would be cool to see you on TV.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, it would, but you just never know. You never know.
And you're still doing the independent circuits, right?
Yeah, I am. I'm doing quite a bit of traveling. I've been going out to California quite often. I've been working with the NWA out in California, Arizona. I've been doing a lot of these legend conventions. I'm sure y'all familiar with those. These legend fan fests that they have. I'm going to be part of the big NWA fan fest in Charlotte in August. That's going to be a massive one. Have y'all been reading any publicity on that one?
I've seen some things, yeah. I don't know if we'll...
Yeah.
That's kind of a drive for us, but...
But if you'll be there.
It's a massive one. I was up in New York not too long ago, New Jersey. I was in Charleston, West Virginia here a couple weeks ago. I've been traveling, for some of the smaller organizations. Like I said, doing some of these Legends conventions and stuff. But I'm still involved in wrestling, that's for sure. I mean, once you've been in it, at this level, you know, you just don't walk away, especially if you've been in 30-plus years like me.
Right.
I'm not going nowhere. I love it, you know. It's my passion. That's my life, you know. That's what paid my bills most of my adult life. There's nothing like wrestling. You guys know that because look what y'all doing.
What are your thoughts on kind of the way the business has evolved since when it was back in the territory days?
I don't know. I have a lot of thoughts. It's just... You know, gosh, it's 2010. You know, things evolved.
Right.
Back in, you know, the days when I broke in, there wasn't any cable television. There wasn't any internet. You know, all we had was the magazines that came out once a month. And, gosh, because of the territory system, you didn't know, you know, what existed in other parts of the country. Unless you did or were a fan of the magazine, you know, the aftermags and stuff back in those days. But it certainly has evolved. And I, as far as the good or bad, I don't know what to say. I really don't, because I'm still a part of it, you know. A lot of guys couldn't adjust. Thank God I was able to adjust.
Yeah.
A lot of guys couldn't adjust, and they just turn out to be a bunch of bitter old men. All they do is talk bad about the business. But I'm not going to talk bad about it. We have a lot of fantastic young talent on the scene now that are great, and a lot waiting in the wings. There's more good things to come. So I'm enjoying traveling around the country, seeing a lot of the new young talent. And they have the same exact dream that I had, you know, 35 years ago. There's no difference in the dream that they dreamed and the dream that I had. It's just the business has certainly changed. And it's mainly due to the internet, cable TV, and just the loss of the territory system.
Well, let's hope that we'll see you back on TV sometime soon. You can start managing the new Undertakers or...
Well, I'm on TV in other parts of the country, but just you know, in a smaller area. You know,
right.
we're on KTLA in Los Angeles, in St. Louis, Kansas City, Missouri, and some other places. But yeah, like I said, I'll never say never. You'll never know when you know I might pop up. You know, certainly a possibility.
All right, do you guys have any other questions? Ashley's over here trembling.
Bless her. Come on, Ashley. But seriously, when y'all get real bored, go check my website out, percypringle.com. And I'm real approachable, and I answer all my email. And sometimes it might take me a couple days. But I'm proud that I do answer all my email myself. And you'll find a lot of stuff out there on there. You'll see a lot of pictures of me and Taker, you know, stuff that you don't see anywhere else. Most of them are my private collection.
Okay.
Pictures and stories. And so you can get real bored. Check it out.
Excellent.
And holler.
Yeah,
drop me an email.
Definitely.
All right. Do you have any parting words for us?
I just want to say it's been a pleasure in talking to you guys, and I thank you for inviting me on your show. And I can certainly appreciate what you guys do. And give me a holler if you ever want me on again. Scream at me.
Oh, we will.
Just scream, hey, Percy! Yeah. I need you again, okay?
All right.
Well, y'all have a good night, and we certainly, like I said, I certainly appreciate what you do, and I want to thank all the fans and supporters out there that's been there all these years, you know, and I'll just tell you that the ride's not over yet, so just hang on. Hang on tight! All right, guys, well, I can smell some good spaghetti coming out of my kitchen.
Oh, all right.
So it's time for me to go try to catch up with 2 tons.
Sounds good.
Again, I used to weigh 2 tons before I had gastric bypass surgery 6 years ago.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I lost 240 pounds.
Oh, man.
Wow.
I weighed 525 pounds at my max.
Damn.
I had gastric bypass surgery in 03, I think, 04. And I lost my memory, too, as you can tell.
He's slimmed down,
Ashley.
I lost 240
pounds. But I'm fixing to go eat me some spaghetti.
All right.
So y'all take
good.
Care, and we appreciate you, all right?
Thank you.
Right, thank you.
Y'all have a good night.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.
Just for you. Dance with the Taker. Rest in peace. The most powerful entity in the World Wrestling Federation. Slam Jam Death.
You're listening to The Five Count, still beating a dead horse after all these years.
Hulk Hogan, your gravest challenge is drawing near. Oh yes, the Survivor Series, the WWF Championship on the line against my Undertaker. What are you going to do, Hulk Hogan? Oh, you little wholesome maniacs will be crying. Oh, yes.
Hulk, the future is at hand. It's at the hand of the Undertaker. Prepare to meet your maker.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you! Day, God created mankind. Why was he having such a bad day? Why did he create all of you normal and forget so many important parts of me? He made the teeth that I swallowed, the ear that was ripped from my skull, a face that no longer exists. Deep inside, you are merely a mirror image of all my atrocities. The ugliness that exists outside lives inside every one of you. Destruction can be beautiful.
A little mist was coming off the tree.
Yes, Undertaker. Tears were rolling down your face. And it's all over. It's not the fat lady that's going to be singing. It's the fat man, and that's me.
Dead man walking.
Hey, welcome back to the Five Count.
Welcome back.
How you doing?
I'm pretty good.
In the immortal words of Tun, how the F do you get so awesome? He just said that.
Exactly. I know it.
I'm not sure.
I don't know either.
How do you pull that off?
I wish I could be so awesome.
Man.
So that guy was pretty totally rocking.
Paul Bearer. Here on the Five Count.
Yeah.
We bring you the big celebrity interviews.
Big time celebs.
There's a bunch of them coming up.
Mm-hmm.
We won't mention any now, but stay tuned.
The thing that's nice is we really kind of have somebody for everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Little of this, little of that.
Yep.
Little true punks for those of you who can't
little
seem to
punks.
Get it together.
For you kids that like to stay up late.
Let's
get down.
Let's play some Get Down music.
I like to stay up late sometimes. You know what I'm saying?
I gotta get to bed.
Well,
so this show is over.
I don't work tomorrow, so I'm just saying if anybody wants to stay up late with me.
Party time with Tun and the Vikes.
Party time. The Vikes aren't gonna be there.
You don't know. Hey, what's next week?
Holy crap!
I'm afraid to even mention this, but I'm going to give it a shot here. Next week, is it your birthday?
My birthday?
Is it?
Nah.
Is it your birthday? Because last year, I remember I tried to throw you a birthday party on air, and guess what?
I was gone.
You didn't show up.
I know.
So then I gave your
really
party
sorry.
To somebody else.
I'm really sorry. It wasn't even worth it. What I was doing was not even worth it.
Well, you're going to be here this year?
Yep.
So next Saturday, Tun's mega birthday blowout
That's
show?
That's my mega birthday blowout show.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Woo!
There it is, folks. Next Saturday, Tun's mega birthday blowout.
Mega birthday bash.
That's right. What's he going to play on the show?
I'm not playing anything. It's my birthday. I don't have to worry about Jack.
So I get to play something?
Yep.
What should I do? I don't even know.
Stuff out of the kindness of your big heart.
It's going to be... Just stay tuned.
It's going to be amazing.
I don't even know what it's going to be other than amazing.
It better be. It's my birthday. It better be sweet. I haven't had a sweet birthday in, like, years.
Last year would have been sweet if you had shown up.
It would have been. I was doing really not awesome stuff with not awesome people.
It happens.
I know. You make mistakes in life.
Well.
You just have to learn from them.
Let me tell you this, Southern Minnesota. Don't make the mistake of not going to thefivecount.com.
That's right.
Do it.
Do it.
Also,
yeah.
That's right. You know what else you could do?
What?
You could go to SaveTheCrumbs.com because there is a brand new issue.
Go there.
Of Save the Crumbs.
It's brand new. Guess what else? You can find it in locations in Minneapolis now.
Yeah.
So if you're up there listening to the show, check out your local joint, folks.
It's all over the place.
That's right.
New Save the Crumbs at SaveTheCrumbs.com. The5count.com. What else do we got?
That's us. We got it all.
Go to check out Paul Bearer. We have a
check
link to his site on the5count.com.
Yep.
So go check that out.
Be all kinds of awesome stuff.
And be sure to tune in next Saturday for Tun's mega birthday blowout.
And come on over to my place for some late night hangouts.
And some ice cream cake.
Ice cream cake.
There it is.
That's right.
Yeah. Shall we?
We shall.
See ya, folks.
See ya.